Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Thankful for it. Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews, can I just say something? If you want a dead, dried up church, you can have it, but I'm not interested in it. Amen. I like something that's got a little life to it, praise God. And I've just always been of this opinion. If it's dead, you better dig a hole and bury it because it's going to start stinking. Amen. And I like something that's got life to it. Amen. And thank the Lord for it. Amen. I thought about this as the choir was singing this morning, as these young people were singing to us. I'm glad. And I've done a lot of research on young adults in recent days and teenagers. Matter of fact, this week I read a book on the depression epidemic in young people today and suicide in young people today. And I'm just glad this morning that the devil don't have all of them. Amen. That there's still some young adults, not just teenagers. I'm glad there's still some young adults that love the Lord and want to live in the old-time way. Amen. And I thank the Lord for it this morning. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 2. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Hebrews chapter number 2. And I'm going to read you one verse, and I'm going to give you a really simple thought today. And I want to be a help to you. Hebrews chapter number 2. Look in verse number 1. The Bible said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We should let them slip. Now, know what he said. We ought to give the more earnest heed, the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Well, how was we saved? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I want to preach to you just a little while this morning, and I'm not going to use the word slip. I'm going to use the word drifting, and it's the same application. It's practically the same word. I'll say more about that in just a minute. I want to preach to you on this thought. Are you beginning to drift? Are you beginning to drill? Father, I love you today. Thank you, Lord, for such a wonderful, wonderful service already in your house. God, for good singing. God, for the good move of the Holy Spirit. And I pray over the next few minutes, God, that you help us today. Meet with us as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to talk to you again about this thought of, are you beginning to slip or are you beginning to drift? That word slip means this. Now, whenever you look it up in the dictionary, it has numerous meanings. But one of them is this. I found this interesting. It means to slide involuntarily. To slide involuntarily. And I thought about Miss Stephanie, you'll understand this, and if Brother Heath was here, they would probably both be laughing. But I remember several years ago, one winter morning, I was sending them a video message. It was before service started, and I walked out, and I was coming down the driveway down at the house. Brother Kevin, there was some ice there, and I didn't know it. And whenever I stepped on it, man, I involuntarily, are you with me? I didn't volunteer to do what I did. I promise you, it was involuntarily. And boy, I'm telling you, here I went down the driveway and it was all on video. And they laughed at it. Every once in a while, one of them will send it back to us in a group and we'll laugh at it again. Involuntarily sliding. And I thought about this. I really believe, I'm going to preach primarily to the saved this morning, but I believe that there's an application if you're here lost that you can be saved. There'll be enough gospel preached. There's been enough gospel sung already. Amen. And I want to say this to you. I really believe that we have some quote-unquote good people here in our church. Now, I understand what the Bible says, there's none good, no, not one, but you know what I'm saying this morning. We have some good people here in our church, and we've got some good people here in our community. There's people that'll do anything for you. I'm thankful for where I live at today, but I also believe that there is a real possibility that that individual that's going to church and that individual that is faithful to the house of God, if you're not careful, you can begin to slip or you can begin to drift away. I thought about this. I remember years ago the first time that we ever went to a motel that had a lazy river at it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And I thought, man, this is cool. There's a river that they've made. Now, I grew up in Courtney, and we didn't go nowhere much, so it was a big deal when I saw the first lazy river. And I remember you could get on that inner tube, and you could float, you could drift around in that lazy river. I thought about this. I remember the first time that we went to, I don't know if you've ever heard of this place, but Zaloo's Canoes. Anybody ever been to Zaloo's Canoes? Man, y'all are missing out. One, thank God, there's another PK in here. Zaloo's Canoes. And you know what you done? You got in a canoe and you drifted down the river. Now, whenever we think about drifting in that way, you can say that it is a good time. There is a good drifting in that way. But when it comes to a spiritual sense today, if we're not careful, we'll begin to drift away. And think about this with me. A lot of times it comes effortless. In other words, to drift, you just don't have to do nothing. Did you know drifting requires no effort? You just sit down on the inner tube and drift down the river. You just sit down in the canoe or the kayak or the boat and drift down the river. But it is a great danger to us today. I thought about this. When someone begins to drift, they never drift towards holiness. They drift towards ungodliness. They never drift into faithfulness. They drift towards faithlessness. You never drift towards goodness. You drift towards wickedness. Is anybody hearing the preacher this morning? That's exactly what happens in our life. I thought about this. You always drift downstream. Drifting usually happens without even realizing it. Several years ago, me and my good buddy, Brother David Edwards, was at Lake Norman. And I had a boat, and we named it Visitation. That way when people called, said, "Hey, what are you doing today?" "Well, I'm out on visitation." Amen. And we was out on visitation that day. And we had run up on some rock jetties, Brother Lloyd, and it was about, I don't know, 6-7 feet underneath the water, and we knew where they was at, and I kindly made a circle around them. We marked some fish on them, man. It was in the fall of the year, and we took a little rattle trap, and Brother Blaine, we throwed that up against them, and man, I'm telling you, the first cast, they started hitting. And we caught, I don't know, well, we caught, ended up that morning, we caught 52 off of that one spot. But we would catch them for a little while, and then we would stop catching them. And every time we stopped catching them, you know what I would do? I would look back on the graph where I had marked the location, Brother Mac, and you know what had happened? We had drifted off of those rocks. We didn't have to do nothing to make that happen. We just done it. And the thing about it was this. We didn't even realize it had happened. I wonder how many people were sitting at home today that was one time in church on a Sunday morning, and they didn't even realize that they was beginning to drift. thing about this, drifting takes no effort on your part. Drifting often puts others in danger. You see, if you're leading somebody and you drift off course, guess what? You've just drifted everybody else off course. Think about this. The closer you get to the waterfall, the faster the current is. The closer you get to the waterfall, the faster the current is. Drifting, if not stopped, will end up in disaster. Preacher, why are you saying that this morning? I asked you this question, are you drifting? What did he say? He said that we take the more earnest heed to give to the things which we have learned or that we have heard, lest at any time that we should let them slip. We should let them slip. We should begin to drift away. I thought about this as I studied this week. Brother Robert, I thought about the past 18 years here at Amazing Grace. And you know, if everybody that has come through Amazing Grace in the past 18 years was still here today, we would probably have 700, 750 in church today. But let me tell you what happened. They began to drift little by little by little by little. You know what will happen in your life? Watch this morning. You know what will happen in your life? Things that once mattered will not be as important. The house of God, and I'll say more about this in just a minute, that was once important to you will no longer be important to you. The things of God that was once important to you will no longer be important to you. And can I tell you where a lot of it starts at? Watch this. We lay this down. All of a sudden one day, we're too busy. And I'm headed somewhere. I'm going to give you a little thought. We'll go home. But all of a sudden one day, we're too busy to read our Bible. All of a sudden one day, we're too busy to pray the way that we should. All of a sudden one day, we're too busy to give somebody the gospel through a gospel tract. And before we know it, yes, are we saved? If we've ever been saved, we're always saved. There's no saved and losing your salvation and getting saved again. No, once saved, always saved, but we can come to a place where we have drifted away from God. Four simple things this morning, we'll go home. Number one, I drift away when I listen to God's word, but my life doesn't change. I told you these simple things, nothing alliterated out today, simple. When I listen to the word of God, but my life doesn't change according to that, then I'm starting to drift. When I listen, in other words, when God, and God done this, it's God, if you don't like it, talk to God about it. God said, I chose by the foolishness of preaching. So when the man of God gets up with a word from God, out of the word of God, and all of a sudden you began to get anxious, everybody okay this morning? And your heart rate begins to go up, and you begin to think, well, who does he think he is? Maybe it's that he don't think he's nobody. He's just the one God chose and called to preach and put in your place, and is giving you the word of God. And all of a sudden, instead of heeding to the word of God, we don't listen to the word of God. And you know what happens in our life? We begin to drift. Hey, we can hear it, but our life doesn't change. You've heard me give this story, this illustration, several times, but years ago, matter of fact, it was 2006 is when it was. 2006, right before we came to the church, I was in South Dakota. Matter of fact, the night that they voted on us to be the pastor here at Amazing Grace. And we had took about 40 young people up there on a missions trip. And make a long story short, I am very particular about my clothes, especially my dress clothes. I want my shirts ironed a certain way. And Miss Leslie will tell you, I iron my own clothes because I want them ironed a certain way. It's not that she won't do it. It's just I'm that picky. And you say, well, you ought not be that bad. Well, I am, and I take care of it myself. So what? It's no skin off your back, okay? had the iron set up, and Madeline walked over there, started messing around that iron. And I said, Madeline, she's always been a rebellious child. I said, Madeline, you better not touch that iron. Madeline, that iron will burn you. Madeline, you better leave that iron alone. How many knows that you can't watch a kid 24/7, that you have to go about life? I told her, Madeline, leave the iron alone. You know what she did? In just a minute, Brother Brian, we heard screaming. And, of course, Miss Leslie cussed me, slap out, had to get right with God for the things that she said to me because I left the iron on and sat in there. You know what Madeline done? She listened, but she didn't obey. She heard, but she didn't apply. And let me tell you, when you begin to drift and when you begin to slip in your spiritual life, when the man of God preaches from the Word of God and you hear the Word of God, but you do not apply the Word of God into your life, when you don't apply the Word of God into your life. You know, sometimes it's like it becomes just a sound anymore in church. The voice of the preacher is just another voice anymore. I read this illustration. I'll give it to you and we'll move on. There's a hymn that is called Come Thou Fount. And here's what it says, part of it. Come Thou Fount of every blessing. Turn my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. The third verse says this. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. British pastor Robert Robinson penned these words at age 22 in 1757. He had been converted under the preaching of George Whitfield, and at the age of 26, he became the pastor of Stoneyard Baptist Chapel in Cambridge. He preached salvation through Jesus Christ alone, and the church grew to over 1,000 in membership. After a few years, Robert started drifting from what he had heard. A liberal Unitarian professor challenged his beliefs in the Bible. Robert literally fulfilled the words of his song. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. In letters to friends, he indicated he had embraced Unitarian doctrine and no longer believed Jesus was God. He stopped reading or preaching the Bible, and his church began to decline. Over several years, he lost the joy of his salvation and struggled in ministry and became very miserable. Later on, a guy by the name of Warren Wiersbe wrote this. He said, one day Robert was traveling in a stagecoach from Cambridge to London, and a young lady was reading a book. She turned to Robinson and said, sir, this is a wonderful hymn. Do you know it? He recognized it as Come Thou Fount. He broke down and confessed that he had written the words of the hymn as a young man, but now he felt he had wandered far from God. The young lady said, but as you wrote, God's streams of mercy are never ceasing. And through her encouragement, Robert was restored to the Lord and rededicated his life to the Lord. Can I just say something to you? We begin to drift when we hear God's word, but we don't apply. Number two, I drift when, now listen to this, I drift away when apathy replaces a desire to gather with believers. When apathy, I read this week, I found it very interesting. It said this, do you know what apathy is? Do you care what apathy is? In 2018, they gave a survey to Americans asking what the bigger problem in our country was, ignorance or apathy. And the most common answer was this, I don't know and I don't care. Apathy today. When it comes to attending church, some people just don't care. They'll go as long as it's convenient. Now, everybody ought to be saying, amen, you're at church this morning. They'll go as long as it's convenient. They'll go as long as there's nothing else going on. They'll go as long as they don't need to be on the sports field. They'll go as long as the fish is not biting. They'll go as long as the family's not having a cookout. Is anybody hearing the preacher this morning? And what happens is this. Here's what happens. Apathy replaces a desire together with the people of God. Matter of fact, we know this is a problem in the book of Hebrews because he said this in chapter 10, verse number 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Can I say this to you this morning? Getting out of church doesn't happen overnight. Getting out of church doesn't happen overnight. Somebody that is faithful to the house of God, somebody that is consistent in the house of God, somebody that is faithful to the things of God, doesn't wake up one Sunday morning and go, you know what? I don't think I'm going to go back to church anytime soon. That's not what happens, church. And let me tell you what happens all of a sudden on a Wednesday night. All of a sudden on a Wednesday night, church is just not as important as it once was. And all of a sudden now, stay with me, Sunday school just wasn't as important as it once was. And all of a sudden Sunday night is just not as important as it once was. And all of a sudden they miss a Sunday morning for this. And then all of a sudden, they miss another Sunday morning for this. And then all of a sudden, well, man, you know what? Brother Stan ain't in the choir no more. I wonder where Brother Stan went. You know what? Here's exactly what happened. Little by little, without even realizing what's going on. Without even realizing what's going on, without any effort at all, church just isn't important anymore. How do I know if I'm drifting? Well, if I drift away, I drift away when I listen to God's word, but my life doesn't change. I drift away when apathy replaces a desire together with believers. I drift away, number three, I'm watching the time, I drift away when complacency about sin replaces confession. When complacency, there was a time when right was right and wrong was wrong. Can I just say that again? There was a time when right was right and wrong was wrong. There was a time when people knew that right was right and wrong was wrong. And there was a time when people was wrong that they was ashamed for being wrong. They was ashamed for it. There's no shamefulness today in our society. And I'm going to be careful, but I'm just going to say it. Let's just all love everybody and be proud. Be proud of who we are. I am proud of who I am. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God that believes the Word of God, that is a man that is married to a woman, because that's the only two things that there is according to the Bible. And I have three daughters that's been raised to be young ladies because that's what the Bible says do. There was a day when, boy, it's getting tight this morning, but there was a day when people blushed at sin. But today, it's just live however, accept whatever, do however, and if you say anything about it, man, it's hate speech. No, it's not hate speech. I love the individual. I love their soul. But, man, I do hate their sin because it will drag them off into hell. And whenever we become complacent to sin, can Can I ask you a question this morning? What is the sin in your life that doth so easily beset you? He talks about that here in the book of Hebrews. What is that sin in your life? I believe you know what your quickest downfall is. Now, can I ask you something else? Can I ask you something else? What are you doing to prevent that from happening in your life? Sin is easy today. Sin has always been easy. Somebody give me an amen right there. It was in the garden. It's always been easy. It's always been at our hands' reach. But it's even, you English majors, just close your ears. It's more easier today and easier more today than it's ever been because of all these devices that we have going around. Young people can see anything that they want to see. Why? Because we become complacent to it. We become complacent to it. What used to be sin is no longer sin. What used to be wrong is no longer wrong. What used to be right is no longer right. Here's what a dairy farmer said, Brother Lloyd. I thought about you when I read this. A dairy farmer once said that the hardest thing about milking cows is they don't stay milked. One of the hardest things about walking with the Lord is that we must continually come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and confess our sins before Him. Number one this morning, I drift away when I listen to God's Word, but my life doesn't change. I drift away when apathy replaces a desire together with believers. I drift away when complacency about sin replaces confession for sin. Number four, I'm done. I drift away when I forget that ending well is the most important thing. That's deep, isn't it? That ending well is the most important thing. The spiritual landscape is littered with the remains of men and women who started well, but somewhere along the track they gave up. They left the race. They drifted away. Did they lose their salvation? No, if they were saved, they were always saved. But they're casualties in the fight. I'm reminded of what Paul said. Miss Tanya, will you come to the piano? I'm reminded of what Paul said. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. What did he say? He said, but none of these things move me. These earthly things is what he's dealing with. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. I believe, sitting here today, as I've already said, I believe that there are some good people. I really do. I believe there's a lot of saved people sitting here today. But can I ask you a question? When we look at these things, does any of them apply to your life? And if they do, could you not agree with me that you're beginning to drift? You're beginning to drift every once in a while. Miss Leslie and I'll call somebody's name and I'll go, I never dreamed that would have happened. I never dreamed that would have happened. I never dreamed that individual would have messed up. Tell you what happened in their life little by little. Little by little. Can I just say this to you, to the adults and to the young people? You better have an accountability partner. I've said this many times. My phone's laying right up there. You're more than welcome. I'll give you the password to it. The only thing that you can't look at is the text between my family and I. It's none of your business what my wife and I says to each other. It's none of your business the conversation that I has with my family, that I have with my family. But any other text, you're welcome to read every bit of it. Go on any app that's on there. Look at any of the history that's on it. you better have an accountability partner. Because if you don't, you'll begin to drift. You may ought to find that person in the church and say, hey, will you be my accountability partner? If I'm not at church, will you ask me why I wasn't there? And if you're not at church, I'm calling you, man, and I'm going, why wasn't you there? I'm just trying to help us this morning. I'll give you this in closing. There have been a lot of amazing stories come from the Olympics whenever you study the Olympics down through the years. This was from years ago, and one came from a women's 5,000-meter event. As the runners were bunched up in the turn, New Zealand runner Nikki Hamblin lost her balance and fell to the track. American runner Abby Diagno tripped over her and fell to the track, injuring her knee. Hamblin was devastated and momentarily thought about quitting, but she felt a hand on her shoulder. It was Abby saying, get up, we have to finish the race. It is the Olympics. Then leaning on each other, they limped their way to the finish line. Neither one of them won a medal, but both of them finished and realized the importance of each other in the race. Here's the reality. I want to finish, and I want to finish well. And when we begin to forget about why we're here, Rebecca and I, we've been so busy over the past 2 months, really, that we've not even really seen each other, just in passing. Hey, how are you? I'm good. Bye. So yesterday, Leslie and I told Leslie, I said, I'm going to go see my sister for a little while. And I texted Rebecca, and I said, hey, I said, you home? And she said, yeah, why? I said, I'll be there in a minute. She's like, well, what's wrong? I'm just coming, okay? I'm just going to come see you. I went over there, and I don't know, we stayed a couple hours, just sitting on the couch, shooting the bull, chewing the cud, just having a good time. And she said this, she said, Jonathan, she said, we both grew up in a preacher's home. She's full-time in the ministry. Of course, Jeremy pastors her husband, and Leslie and I's full-time in the ministry. So whenever we get together, it's hard not to talk about ministry. I mean, that's all we know. And she said, you know, she said, sometimes I think people lose focus on what really matters. She said, did we take a lot of stuff the past 2 weeks? Absolutely. She said, are we going to continue to help? And I said, absolutely. She said, but the main reason that we've done every bit of it is to let people know there's a God that loves them, and there's a God that cares about them, and there's a God that'll save them and a God that'll comfort them if they're not saved. We lose focus on what this life's really all about. What if I climb the corporate ladder, if you look at it that way, but I lose my own family? What if I become a multimillionaire, but I die and go to hell and my kids die and go to hell? What have I accomplished in this life? What have I accomplished in this life? I'm going to tell you what matters at the end is this. Number one, that I'm saved. And number two, that when I stand before God, that God says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And the only way that God will ever say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, is if I have done well. I don't want to just hear it as a pastor. I want to hear it as a husband. I want to hear it as a father. I've tried my best to teach my kids personal responsibility. I've tried my best to teach them to be good people, to be godly people. I've tried my best to teach them to be successful in life, because there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with being the very best you can be and getting an education and pursuing. There's nothing wrong with that. But you hear me and hear me well. If I've taught them all of that and I didn't teach them about Jesus, if I taught them how to go to school and get an education, if I paid their way through school and I never taught them about God, then I have failed in everything that I've done in my life for my children. Because at the end, I'm going to give an account for spiritual things, not earthly things. I ask you this in closing. Are you beginning to drift? I promise you I'm done. I was at the sheriff's office the other day, and one of the officers was sitting over in the side of the front lobby where some of the desks are at, the women work, and they're where you used to be at. And I looked at her and I called her by name and I said, "You gonna do anything today?" She said, "Well, I'm having one of them days." I said, "So, not unless you have to." She said, "You're probably right." And I said, "Well, you know what?" And I called her by name again. She said, "What?" I said, "The first step to getting help is realizing you got a problem." And she said, "Shut up and get out of here." I said, "Okay. The first step to getting help is realizing you got a problem. And if you think you're okay," can I just say, I know I'm not okay. I know I could read my Bible more. I know I could pray more. I know I could witness more. We'll never realize that we need help until we admit first that we've got the problem.